What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffin Daffer. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Oh boy, a lot to break down with the new news that I really want to talk about in a lot of detail. First, I want to show you Savannah came on the Today Show this morning. And in case you haven't seen it, I want to show you her latest plea.
Ask people to really to beg people to come forward. Somebody knows.
You start this at the
This is unusual and unprecedented, to say the least, to be sitting here. But, you know, I don't have any comment on the story and not involved in our coverage. But I can't pretend I'm not here. And so since I am, I wanted to just take the opportunity to ask people to really to beg people to come forward. Somebody knows something. And this is a new story today that is on your radar, but this is the life that my sister lives, that I live, that my brother lives, that our extended families live, that our children live every day. And we are in agony. And we cannot be at peace. So no matter how much I try to come out here every day and smile and find that joy, and I will, I promise I will. This is a moment to tell you that we need your help. We're begging for your help. The reward is there. You can tell us. It can be anonymous. Please do the right thing for us, for our family, for our children.
Yeah, the poor family. I'm actually going to play it one more time. There's still a lot of people coming in. I started so timely, maybe even a little early today. So I wanted to get this right back on really quick. One more time. This is from today. This is as recent as it gets. And of course, it's on the heels of what we're going to talk about, which are these ransom demands.
This is unusual and unprecedented, to say the least, to be sitting here. But, you know, I don't have any comment on the story and I'm not involved in our coverage. But I can't pretend I'm not here. And so since I am, I wanted to just take the opportunity to ask people to really to beg people to come forward. Somebody knows something. And this is a new story today that is on your radar, but this is the life that my sister lives, that I live, that my brother lives, that our extended families live, that our children live every day. And we are in agony. And we cannot be at peace. So no matter how much I try to come out here every day and smile and find that joy, and I will, I promise I will. This is a moment to tell you that we need your help. We're begging for your help. The reward is there. You can tell us. It can be anonymous. Please do the right thing for us, for our family, for our children.
I mean, it is heartbreaking, and that is the reality every day. Of course, this isn't a soap opera. This is reality for them. And, you know, this new news, I just could not wait to come out and address some thoughts on this new news. I preface everything with a report like this by saying it is source information. It is being reported to multiple outlets, which begs the question for me, is this the same source that is speaking to all sorts of outlets? And I've talked a lot about sources in a situation like this. I really, really struggle as to motivation. I know I'm in the media. I know that I much support News Nation and really freedom of press and all reporters who have sources. But I'm going to preface this by saying it is source information. Having said that, again, it's being reported by many sources, and it really backs up something that we heard very early on. So again, to let you all know where we're at here, is there was recent reporting, and specifically there's a source, talked to CNN, talked to News Nation, talked to Brian Enten, talked to multiple individuals. And anyway, the crux of what they're saying is that Nancy, this is in the second note that would have been received on February 6th. And again, we're talking about Nancy Guthrie, who was abducted from her home on February 1st. We're going to be looking at the new information. And what is the new information? And that is that the February 6th note contained very specific language. And some of that specific language indicated that she was buried with nature. This is a quote, buried with nature. And the other very specific language is purportedly that there's not a true apology, but basically an explanation as to how she died, which was by accident, unintended. She accidentally passed. So that's what we're going to be breaking down today. We're going to keep this very pointed on this, although I have a lot of video coverage I want to show to really bring home what was in that note, what is believed to be in that note. So first of all, I want to start with this. I want to start with the response to the note, which was right after the note. I know many of you have seen it. We're going to take a look at it again and talk about it on the other side.
We received your message and we understand. We beg you now to return our mother to us so that we can celebrate with her. This is the only way we will have peace. This is very valuable to us, and we will pay.
So that was the response to this sixth note. It's very, very calculated. It's very, very pointed. And the thing about it is, and I have to tell you, this verbiage, and I do believe these two ransom notes are real. I'm going to tell you why. We've talked about it before, but one is the response from the family. The Bureau is not going to get the family together. They're not going to help them with what to say. They're not going to get the behavioral analysis unit together. They're not going to do all of that to respond to something they think is bogus. I mean, there's been so many ransom notes sent, so many ransom notes to many people. A lot of people that people don't even know about and aren't even discussing, as well as follow-up ransom notes, or not ransom, but basically informational extortion type notes. If you give me money, I will tell you this information, specifically where she's buried and things. But these first two notes were treated from the get-go as being legitimate. What do I mean by that? Again, orchestrating these responses. And also the fact that right after these notes were received, what happened? The searches halted. Now, still makes no sense to me. You don't halt a search just because you think somebody is deceased. You still look for their body. You look for indicia of the crime. You still crawl throughout the Sonora Desert. You crawl throughout that area, every place. You beat the bushes for information, for clues. You look everywhere. So I never agreed. I still don't agree. I still don't understand why all searches halted, pretty much, except for some, of course, private individuals who continued to search, but nothing huge and organized. EcuSearch wasn't allowed in Madres Buscadoras, Cajun Navy. Everybody thwarted. To search soon after this. Part of it now, we know that obviously law enforcement believes she was deceased, but still, as I mentioned, no reason. I want to talk about the particular verbiage, and actually Binky, I think, set it up here. I talked to Newsweek this morning, and then also on News Nation. I can't remember whether I said it or not, or whether that question was asking me. This is the oddest verbiage to me. She's buried with nature. If that is truly the case, and this is not merely some sort of hoax, if she's truly buried, this is how you would say something to somebody you love and care about. You would say buried with nature. Why do I say that? Well, there's only one way to bury, and that's with nature. I mean, you're going into the ground by the very words, by the very word buried. It means below the ground, buried, underneath, buried. So to put nature on it softens it. And I use those exact words. It seems almost poetic. It seems soft. It seems nurturing. In other words, if you had a loved one die and you buried them and you said, buried in nature, what does that indicate? It means almost not a bad thing, right? In nature's arms, with nature. I find that extremely, extremely important, because whoever wrote that ransom, and well, if we even want to call it a ransom note, extortion note, a note between abductor and family, it shows a soft side. And recall this. Remember what TMZ said about this? Remember that TMZ said that these notes were so well written, right? Perfectly robotically written. They didn't say robotically, but they said extremely important or extremely well written. Many of us believe, I certainly believe, that from what they're saying, could that mean AI? Was AI used to fashion the notes to do a number of things, right? Obstruct how this person truly writes, obstruct different idiosyncrasies to their writing, to their punctuation. That makes a lot of sense to me. If they are smart, it makes so much sense to me. Also, what could be true is, do they speak another language first? I speak Spanish, but it's my second language. And so I can't say poetically, softly, nuancy, much of anything. Right? The way I speak is almost like a second or third grader, you know, just very to the point when I speak in Spanish. And it's not perfect. My verbs aren't perfect. And when you speak in a second language, but you're trying to get information across, could it be true that that is why AI could have been used in this? Could it have been used because they understood that there was no way they could write proficiently enough in the English language to communicate in a way that made them sound intelligent, and they didn't want to give away the fact that they spoke Spanish as their first language. The Spanish language is very interesting because it is poetic in and of itself. For those of you who speak Spanish, everything is, you know, for instance, I call the lady who takes care of our house, I call her La Princesa, the princess. I call one of my tennis partners, La Reina, which means one means the princess and one means the queen. Now, it would seem really weird to speak like that to someone who, to say that in English. You just wouldn't do that. You might say, hey, sweetie, you know, that's the most. It's their whole language, the whole Spanish language is, it's a romantic language. And it the nuances in it and how you say things, the different ways to say I love you, you know, te quiero, which really means exactly I want you. But in their language, it's a way to say I love you. And they have multiple ways. In English, we just have one, I love you. Right? And love, there's all these variations, right? I tell so many people I love them, but it doesn't mean I love them like I love my closest family members, right? So I'm wondering if there is some nuance here with the Spanish language and how this was formed, how this came together as being buried with nature. Or is this a poetic inference? No matter. Okay, first of all, if it's this, well, I'm going to say this. No matter whether it's a Spanish influence here and the translation just didn't make, I'll tell you right now, there's so many things in Spanish that I literally cannot say in English. There is no direct correlation. In English, pretty much, I can find a way to say it. In Spanish, I just can't. It's really odd. There are just nuances in how they speak that we don't have direct translation. So having said that, my point here is that no matter whether we say this is Spanish or we say it is English and AI was used, no matter the situation, why so soft? Why even say anything? What abductor says that she's even buried? Let's just forget the with nature out. What abductor reaches out to say with nature? What abductor reaches out to say she's accidentally killed? Por accidente? Why would you say that? I understand you could say she's dead, she's deceased. And yes, somebody just wrote Italian. It's the same translates with Italian, even with French, but I can't specifically say that with any expertise. I feel confident with Spanish. Feel confident saying it with Spanish. But what person writes any of this? I'm serious. What kidnapper goes in, brutally kidnaps somebody enough to where they are expirating, and it is expirating, not aspirating. It's expirating because it's coming out when you take in blood, that is not expiration. So my point is, though, what person brutally does this? Because I do believe this was a brutal abduction. She's 84 years old. She is so, would be so sensitive and so fragile. And then you go back and write, buried with nature, and oops, accidentally killed her. I added the oops. My point is that the inference, and I understand now why early reporting, very early on, there was source reporting from different media outlets that there was an apology. That was widely reported. I never really reported much on it because, again, source information, you know, the whole problem with source information is where is that source getting it from? And then it's passed down, and then it's passed down. And so by the time we all hear it, how different is it from the original version on that note? Right? I just caveat everything with saying we can't 100% say that that was in the note. But that is certainly, certainly what is being revealed to us in the news. And because it is so widespread and pervasive, I think it's very important to report it and to respond to what that really does mean. Why say it that she died on accident, and why say buried with nature, unless you have some sort of connection with this person. It just is so, it shows empathy and it shows concern. It just does. If this is true, it shows empathy and concern for the family. Now, not enough empathy or concern that you don't want to try to get away with this crime and you don't want to kidnap them. But it also answers a lot of the questions we had and supports our theory that law enforcement was specifically honing in on the empathetic nerve of these kidnappers by their responses. For instance, when she says, it's not too late. For instance, when they say, talk to her and you'll see. All of these phrases that are used when you're talking to somebody that you truly believe.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Has some amount of empathy. Yeah, to be clear, if I misspoke, it's not that they accidentally killed her, it's that she accidentally died. It's a little bit of syntax here because but for you stealing her and kidnapping her and brutalizing her, she wouldn't have accidentally died. So let's be clear here that this person is kind of trying to displace blame, right? So when I say that, the way that said, she accidentally died, well, yeah, you know what? You accidentally killed her, because if she were still laying in her bed, she wouldn't have accidentally died, most likely. It's your action that caused her to accidentally die. So this person is also displacing any blame he has or responsibility for what occurred to Nancy Guthrie, which also is telling. Why wasn't the ransom paid if it was believed from the beginning, which is we see the responses that were made, not just this response. Remember, this is after the sixth. The initial response is much longer. Annie speaks, Savannah speaks, they're reading. And then after that response, so there was a first note that came in right after the kidnapping too. That was confusing at first, but it is not confusing now. We know it came in right after the abduction, the day after it was received, and TMZ 12 hours later. So they get these notes, the first note, again, demanding $4 million in Bitcoin, very specific cryptocurrency, which I've made a lot of, talking about wrench by proxy, where you take somebody that has access to cryptocurrency and you abduct them. So what happens after that? Let's play this and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Cameron Guthrie, I'm speaking for the Guthrie family. Whoever is out there holding our mother, we want to hear from you. We haven't heard anything directly. We need you to reach out and we need a way to communicate with you so we can move forward. But first, we have to know that you have our mom. We want to talk to you and we are waiting for contact.
Now, I always thought this message was very weird, and I'm going to tell you why. The first message, all three children are together. That's where it's the talk to her, and you'll see they're really pleading with the abductors to please contact them, that we understand the notes, that they'll pay, et cetera, et cetera. It's not that last one I showed. That was after the sixth. But the very first one is much longer. Annie speaks, as I mentioned. This one, you can tell he's reading. Can everyone see that? He's looking down. He's actually reading. He's not just making this up. This is, again, orchestrated, in my opinion, by the FBI. They're not saying you have to say this or you have to say that. What they're saying is, this is our recommendation. And just like most of you, whether you go to an attorney for legal advice, or you go to a tax accountant for tax advice, or you go to a hairdresser on hair advice, I listen to what they have to say, and I'm sure you do too. And if you're in this situation, you are going to listen, I think, most people to the advice of the FBI, because even though they have limited experience, at least they have experience. And again, I'm hoping that they did a query as to what agents have actually worked kidnappings and are on this case. Not just violent crime, kidnappings. And I've talked about this a lot before. After 9/11, the whole makeup of the Bureau changed. Not only did we hire a lot of people that never wanted to be in law enforcement initially, but they had a call of conscience after 9/11. And all of a sudden, you had bankers, doctors, lawyers, politicians. I'm trying to think of the people who came to my squad. I just named them. Come in and all of a sudden want to be law enforcement. None of them lasted very long. Some did, but most washed out early because they realized, whoa, I didn't know this was going to be this much work and this much patience and this much boring stuff I have to do, and that I'm going to have to stock the refrigerator for my first month on the squad. And what does that have to do? You know, especially they came from lots of money, huge incomes, huge earnings, and they became involved in a bureaucracy called the FBI, which was far different than they had idealized. And so my point with that is there's a break between the people who came in during 9/11. They came in and many washed out very early compared to normal agents, who a normal male agent that came in, they gave us this statistic, even when I was there, was like 98% stay. So if you come on as an FBI agent and you're a male, you're staying your full 20 years until you can retire. Females much lower, like 1/3 or something of females stay. But the males were that high. Well, that went in the tanker after 9/11 because people, I believe, didn't come in for the right reason, the true reason of law enforcement and wanting to give back. Why do I bring this up? It's a very serious point I'm trying to make here, is that you had this long period of time where we went from 7 reactive, for instance, in Houston, organized crime, violent crime type squads, down to 3, 2 organized crime and 1 violent crime. Everything else went to counterterrorism. Counterterrorism is sort of chasing ghosts, meaning you're not really out there making arrests. You're trying to save the U.S. from these criminal actions that are being put together. So you're listening to wires, you're making informants connections with Moss, you're trying to preempt another attack on our country. Way different than working violent crime. Cash Patel has come in and he's brought it all back. He said, we're doing violent crime, we're going to do kidnappings, we're going to do all of this. We're going to get into gangs, human trafficking, crimes against children. He came in and it was like when I was in, where that was a huge, huge priority. No one worked counterterrorism, very few, or foreign counterintelligence. It was actually, you worked that, a lot of people that were made to work that had to work it because they couldn't produce stats. And the Bureau, like everything, is stat-oriented. How many people are you putting in jail? How are you being productive? And, you know, there's no quotas or anything, but you're, that's what you're judged by. Are you really working? Is your work productive? So those people were put on squads where you didn't have to show production in that way. My point is there's a huge lag now that ended up existing because everyone, as an example, who taught my era of agent was huge background in violent crime, bank robberies, kidnappings, extortions, organized crime, gangs, that cartels. That's what everybody worked. That's what I learned from the ones who had always worked it. My generation, we were supposed to teach the new people who came on, the people who came on after 9/11, that we were supposed, we talked about this so often in 2014, 15, 16, we've lost a generation of investigators because the Bureau's focus shifted to foreign counterintelligence and counterterrorism. And I'm not saying it wasn't the right thing to do. I am just saying it made a hiatus in time of people working kidnappings and violent crime. So this case, I'm hoping, is being led by an old dog that has experience. But I think we're going to find out that perhaps when we hear it all ferret out, it'll be interesting to see. We know Pima County had no experience. I posted very early their crime stats showing no kidnappings. Might have had some parental kidnappings at some point, but their kidnappings, traditional kidnappings, they didn't have any. They didn't even have the column for it. They had no experience. And that's why you saw, in my opinion, a lot of mistakes. So Cameron comes on again at the behest of the Bureau, I believe, because he wants to establish specificity beyond the Bitcoin account. Contact us so we can see our mothers alive. Why did he do it over Annie and Savannah? I believe it's truly, he didn't speak in the first one. And then I think as a male voice of this family, he stood up and he said, we need proof of life, essentially. Please contact us again. No contact. I'm doing a show tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to be on the road again for 5 days, but I'm going to do a show tomorrow on a case I found, and I maybe even do two, where an intersection of the media was used to communicate. Because I think it is really important. I think it's really important to understand that possible nexus. So this was the next step. Cameron Guthrie came on after the first note, makes a plea, nothing happens. And so now they have to, and what we're getting to, what is the question at hand, is why didn't they pay? So now the Bureau is saying, look, we have no proof of life. We have no proof of death. We have proof of nothing except for a Bitcoin account. And these notes that show us detail enough that make us believe that they are legitimately from the abductors because they say things that only the abductors could know. So this plea doesn't work. The plea after it doesn't work, which I showed earlier. And so they didn't pay. I'm not going to lie. I tell you, I don't know that I wouldn't have paid. But we're going to talk about a case like this that I found that I think is really important to look at where they did pay. And we're going to, I'm going to show, break through what happened without proof of life. I'm going to show you about this case, another crypto case I found. They didn't pay. I want to show you again this clip, and it's a montage of different things that Savannah Guthrie has said. Take a look. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Took an 84-year-old woman in the dead of night in her pajamas with no shoes, without her medicine. This little person.
This isn't that case that right. You are used to where someone wanders off. She can't wander off. Her phone was there and her purse was there and all her things.
Yeah. And the doors were popped open.
Yeah.
And there was blood on the front doorstep. And the Ring camera had been yanked off.
Yeah.
I think my brother, he said, I think she's been kidnapped for ransom. I didn't want to believe. I just said, because of me. To think that I brought this to her bedside, just too much to bear. And I just say, I'm so sorry, mommy. I'm so sorry.
All right. The reason I play that is this is very important because they talked about this being a kidnap for ransom from the very beginning. Also, from the very, very beginning, and actually followed up, not the very beginning, I'm sorry, from March, the very beginning of March, so 4 weeks in, Sheriff Nanos is specifically asked, and he specifically says, it's what we've thought from the beginning, kidnapped for ransom. They have always, not in the very beginning, not in the first few days, for sure, not in the first few days. Sheriff Nanos did not treat this as a kidnap for ransom. But he says that a lot of people, we've known from the beginning, and that's what they believe this is. She says that's what she believes it is. I believe that is what this is. I'm an Occam's razor girl. This was a kidnap for action, for ransom. I feel very sure about that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And it's okay if I'm wrong. Listen, there's a lot of other thoughts, beliefs out there. And I tell you what, I have so much respect for everybody who is willing to share. I'm always love it when somebody who's sort of an obscure account, maybe I've never even seen them pop up, but they're on here or they're in my X feed, and they pop in and they just say, well, I think this, Jen. And that might be an agreement or not an agreement. But I mean, we're all watching this very closely. I've always said, you all are the jurors. You know, you're who I'm going to have on my jury. And everybody who is watching this case from minute one, I know we've done about 138 episodes, something like that, just on this case, maybe 135, something like that. I know I've missed a couple days. Some of you have watched every episode with me. We've taken it from what we knew before and then how that has been added to, right? And I love everybody having an opinion, and my mind remains wide open in terms of who all was involved, except for a few caveats. And it's okay if you don't disagree. I know there's a lot of people, a lot of colleagues of mine. When I say colleagues, other people that have been in law enforcement. You know, federal law enforcement, I'm not sure there's anybody who shares the opinion, but I know there's local law enforcement people with YouTube channels and with social media out there that still believe the family are involved, even if they nuance say it or poke the bear at it. it's clear what's thought, right? Just like it's clear with me, even though I say, I don't mince words. I'm telling you, I don't think the family is involved. But I do not dismiss that there's something familiar here. It either has to be somebody familiar here that is at least in part responsible for those notes, or there has to be a language barrier. If there is a language barrier, then the specificity of Buried in Nature and the specificity of She Died by Accident may not be as prominent in terms of shifting us in the area of somebody with empathy toward her. It doesn't make sense for somebody who did this brutal, brutal abduction to all of a sudden care that her family knows, oops, it was an accident. We didn't mean her to die. And she's buried with nature. So unless this is a translation from Spanish or one of the other Romantic languages, and I haven't studied Italian or French or Portuguese enough to know their translations. But I can tell you, this makes a lot of sense if it's a Spanish translation that it's coming off in the...
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This way. And it makes much more sense. Because it doesn't make any sense that a kidnapper gives a crap about her. But I wonder if the Bureau's thought about this. I mean, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've thought about all the possibilities with why that language was used. I want to talk about just a little bit for those of you who did not see it. I know what Sheriff Nanos has said. And he has said emphatically the Bureau was involved from the beginning. And I have a clip where they're in the background. But being involved, meaning we're standing there, and if you need something, we're here to help, is so much different than the full force and leadership and experience and guidance of the FBI being involved. So again, I've got a lot of clips today. I think it's important. I want to take you back to what very recently on News Nation, Kash Patel said. And when I say recently, within, I think, 10 days this happened, maybe less. Take a look and we'll talk about it on the other side.
About a federal nexus to a federal crime. So we showed up immediately and offered our assistance.
Sorry, sir.
Got to Tucson almost immediately to try and help Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos. What's the update on that case?
From day one, the FBI offered up our assistance because it was a state and local matter. So we were not the lead agency because it was not being investigated as a federal matter because there was no evidence.
This is very important for me personally to hear this. And I know I've played this clip. I know we went through this with a fine-tooth comb, but I just want to touch on it again. What I have noticed is a lot of things sort of are forgotten and then brought up again. I noticed that, for instance, here where it was an accidental reporting. Right. That they reported that it wasn't an accident, but there was an apology very early on. And now I think we see the nuance as to why that sort of assumption was made that this was seen as sort of an apology. But I want to make it clear that Kash Patel, the head of the FBI, who flew all these agents, he had 100 people. He gives you the numbers here, plus all their analysts, plus the president talking about this. He says they did not get involved until day four. And I believe him from the standpoint of a case being opened and the full breadth of the FBI coming down, not just standing on the stage or being there if they needed help. Two different things, as you all know. So anyway, we're going to listen to the rest of this.
About a federal nexus to a federal crime. So we showed up immediately and offered our assistance. We were not let in for 4 days. And that's their choice.
And let in, what he means is to open up a case again, to follow, to give the full breadth of their leadership and resources.
We continue to offer assistance. I even visited our Tucson office where we had 150 agents and analysts working on the Nancy Guthrie case.
150 agents and analysts working. I can tell you it is a minuscule amount right now. You know, at the most, I think it was reported, I saw ABC report 24. But I will tell you, of those 24, I guarantee you most of them, there's only a few that are actually working on it day to day. The rest are working the violent crime. They have crimes that were committed well before Nancy and things going on, search warrants to do. This is my background, are these task forces, and there's so much going on. But I also will say there are certainly dedicated people that are still working on it, a dedicated few. And when they find something, they can get all those task force people to drop what they're doing and follow up with them.
To provide intelligence. What the FBI is great at, what we did when we finally had access to the Ring doorbell camera, for example, we went to our partners at Google and we said, hey, we know that there wasn't a paid subscription service, but let's go look at the metadata and see if we can find a needle in a needle in a needle in a haystack. And what do? We pull that out. Same thing with the DNA. We offered our assistants to go test the DNA.
I agree that the Bureau went in there and I can just see what happened. They sent people out to Google, you know, the best of the best cyber that they had. And they went out there and they said, listen, we have to get this. But you know who did this, right? It's Google. It's those Google employees that understand their technology better than anyone. So really, the Bureau is sitting there behind them, encouraging. And these engineers, the people who invented the Nest camera, who understand the Google SMEs, we call them subject matter experts, they were on it and they did it. But I agree, without the Bureau going out there, and I don't know if it would have happened or not. Nano said early on, I have to watch, you know, I want to paraphrase him accurately. He said words to the effect of, we just don't have anything. But I think he does say something like, maybe somebody will get something, but we don't have anything. So it seemed very unlikely that there was going to be camera footage. Do you remember that? So here we go with what he continues to say here. Really, the fact that they went out there and got that and that Google was able to get it, isn't it interesting, though? If you do not have a subscription and you don't think any of your stuff is being recorded, subscriptions, I should say, if I said prescription, I meant subscription. Isn't it interesting that they're watching and recording? I'm sure some of you thought about this, but they're watching and recording you. Subscription or no subscription. They may not have the timestamp, but they have it, what you don't want them to have, right? Because if you don't have a subscription, you're saying, hey, listen, like Nancy said, I want to watch wildlife. I want to see who's on my outdoors. I want to enjoy the javelinas. I want to be able to see all this, right? That's why she gets the Nest camera. It's not for surveillance. So anyway, I just thought that's interesting from a privacy standpoint. Look, I have a subscription. But for those who don't want one, and there's a lot of people who don't like that. Well, if you don't like that, don't get a camera because they've likely got it.
And it's up to them. They chose to use a private laboratory. It's like a child abduction case or missing persons case. You need the first 48 hours to hit the ground hard. And again, the state and locals are in charge of those investigations. We, the FBI, don't take ownership of them. We've continued to offer assistance.
Did you hear that? It was messed up bad, in my opinion. more from the standpoint of even if they get Porch Guy, I am so worried about whether they are going to be able to hold down a conviction. So worried about it. Even if they get him, and even if there's good, strong information, how everything was done early is very problematic. And you see, we're not taking ownership. We don't do ownership. Let's continue.
Continue to do it now. And we will show up for any investigative examinations that they wish our assistance on, whether it's our laboratories in Quantico. But that's the nature between state and federal and local law enforcement. And what you saw here in Ohio is when state and locals work together, it works really well.
And again, I pointed out on another show how if the Bureau really wanted to grab a hold of this, they could under sub B of 1221, that's 18 USC 1221, the Lindbergh log, kidnapping, federal kidnapping statute, because if somebody's missing for more than 24 hours, it is considered that they crossed state lines, whether they did or not. Obviously, later, if they didn't end up, that would be local jurisdiction. But the reason that this can always fall in federal jurisdiction is because commerce was used, interstate commerce, which was the lines. When they used the internet to feed into the local media and TMZ, you know, note room, however you want to call it, they're basically where you're allowed to communicate with a station about a case or a story you know about or whatever, and it goes into this particular kind of, I don't know if I'd call it a chat room, but a particular place. That's where these notes came into. And think about that. The brilliance of these people knowing that couldn't be traced, unless we're just to think this is just dumb luck. Unless we're to think this is just dumb luck that they send this communique, these communications to two different local stations and TMZ, and it's just dumb luck that that couldn't be traced. I want to know part of my focus on who Porch Guy is or who's behind this. Do they have a nexus with working with mainstream media, radio, TV, and do they understand that it can't be traced what comes in? Now that is the interesting angle. That is the interesting point. Is tracing back the knowledge of why they decided to communicate this way. And tomorrow we're going to talk about, I don't know whether I'll do one case or two cases. I might divide it up because I am sorry that my lives are going too long. I really want to keep them at an hour. I haven't had anybody complain about my channel, but I've seen a lot of people complain about other people's channels, that they're so long that they don't get to the point. I feel like we get to the point, we just have a lot of points to make, but I'm trying to, and I'm going to listen to what everybody says here, but I'm really trying to keep them within an hour. And now we're already at an hour 20 because I know I started right on time. But that's the interesting point to me. And that's what I've been searching for and searching for. Other people who have communicated through this type of avenue. Because whoever did this seemed to know they couldn't be tracked this way. People say, why didn't they just communicate with the family? Tommaso, Annie, their numbers were available. Well, look at what happened to Kalela. He's a bright one. He decided to send those fake ransom demands, and he got swooped up in no time. You know, he got swooped up. So people understand they can't communicate this way anymore. You can't communicate by leaving letters, sending an email, sending a text, a DM, you're going to get caught. But this is pretty cool. Cool meaning they were pretty smart to figure this out. And I always look, it might sound odd, but I respect smart criminals. It makes it tough. But these guys were smart how they communicated these ransoms. And there is, if they can figure out who did these ransom notes, that's so much the key to this case. I think everybody knows that. If they can trace the Bitcoin, if they can trace who sent these, they will crack this case. They're not having any luck with that photo of porch guy. But that's how they'll crack this case. All right. I've got, just like all of you, so much to do and get on top of, but my brain is in this case right now. There's so many avenues I want to go down. So don't be surprised if we switch it up a little bit tomorrow. Hoping some of you will have watched last night. I was in with Yellow Cottage Tales. Remember, he's an author. He's always been a writer, but he was published, not self-published. He was actually published in a book about Karen Reed. And he's the type, he gets down to the facts. I thought he did a really good job interviewing me. He asked some pretty tough questions because we talked about Ellen Greenberg. And I believe Ellen Greenberg was murdered. He believes Ellen Greenberg took her life. He's a little bit more after the end of it. He said he's a little bit more on the fence now, but he grilled me pretty good. And actually, I thought really well. And I had to really think hard to explain my points. If you have a chance, we did that last night. Tonight, I'm going to be on with the Turkey on a panel. Turkey got lucky because he asked me to be on this panel a few days ago. And then this big breaking news came. So we're going to dual stream it, though. You'll be able to find it right here on Break the Case, right here on my show. But I'm looking forward to that. I don't know who all is going to be on the panel, but I'm looking forward to finding out. You know, so much more to talk about on this case. Again, I've got two cases that I just found. I'm always searching. And I found two more that I think you're going to be very interested to hear about. We'll probably do one Wednesday, one Thursday. I've got some guests I'm working on. I'm so excited because at the end of July, unless something changes with her schedule, my change isn't going to change. I'm flying out to Montana. I do a big charity event up there on a huge ranch. I've talked about it before and sent pictures before. And Elizabeth Smart is going to be one of the other speakers. I'm going to do 2 days training, one day on self-defense, another day on live firearms. And then the second half a day will be on tactical maneuvering, like just throughout your house. We're going to use the house that was actually in that movie or that television show. What's the television show that everybody watched? Kevin Costner was in it. It's up in Montana. It was done on this ranch, filmed on this ranch, and filmed in this farmhouse. And I've asked to use that farmhouse to do the what we call practical applications of all of this. But anyway, Elizabeth is supposed to be there. I'm hoping she'll come on my podcast at that time. I have so many questions for her, particularly how it will intersect with Nancy Guthrie's case. So I'm really hopeful to speak with her on that. That's kind of some things we have coming up. Again, tonight is Turkey. Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to hash out those other cases. And so I'm very, very excited. Yellowstone. Thank you, LJ4. That's the name of that. I've never watched it. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I sort of tried to watch it. I watched about 5 minutes, fell asleep. My husband, and the reason I wanted to watch it is my daughter loved that show. And you know, as a parent, anytime your child is interested in something, I've always felt it's important to try to have that interest with them. So I've always tried to do that. I failed when it come to falling in love with Yellowstone. But nevertheless, it's kind of cool when I'm up there to see that house, because they told me this is the house that was used and the lands that were used for that filming, which was pretty cool. That's not until late July, though, when I head up there. But anyway, back to this point, just to tie it all in a knot, and then I want to go through the wonderful donations and members that have joined today. I just wanted to say that the language is suspect, either because it's a AI translation from a Romance language, and it's coming out this soft and flowery, or two, it's meant to be soft and flowery, which doesn't make much sense to me. And three, the whole point of them, the abductors, having to say anything in this vein, unless they were going to say, your mom's dead, if you want to know where she is, you need to pay me 6 Bitcoin. That makes sense. But the other doesn't, unless there is a translation issue. Doesn't make sense. So that's where we're at on these notes. Again, I do caution everyone, it's source information. Remember, we caught one earlier that the source had said one thing and then they had to retract it. I don't know if it's the same source. But essentially, this is who says it. Then it goes down to the source, and then maybe, or another person, and then maybe the source, and then to the reporter, and then to us. So I always caution everyone on that. Agent 99, did everybody watch that? Get Smart. I'm so old. So are you, Agent 99. Get Smart. But I think they have a new version of it out. So maybe this is very young person, Agent 99. Thank you so much for becoming a member. I truly appreciate you. I'm going to go back up and look because I saw some blues and greens coming across and I just could not watch them. I have actually, while I'm doing this, and I'm sorry for the clicking, I have another question to ask you all. Would you all be interested in me, instead of doing lives daily, would you rather have me do like a long, I'll call it a mini Dateline version, and summing up things? Would you guys appreciate that better? The reason I went to lives were twofold, right? One reason was just all the editing. It was so expensive when I first started. I can't even tell you how much expense you have to spend to have somebody edit everything and put everything in. So that was one reason. But the second reason is this feels like such a connection to me with all of you. I love reading what you say afterwards at night when I can't get to sleep. I read all your what you have to say at the end of the shows. I don't think the live chats go over, but many people respond. And then I try to look over at these chats. I just feel like I have such a connection, a better connection than if I did a long form. But I want to hear back from you if you guys would prefer that. Kelly McClellan, thank you for the $5. I really, really appreciate it. So nice. Let me look. I know I saw a few more. I think somebody even donated. I'm going to try to get up at the top because I think it was early. There's a lot of chat today, which I love seeing. And that's what it's all about, too. It's not just the interaction with me. It's the community with each other, right? I keep glancing over and I'll see you guys off on a tangent. And I just love it because I see that you all are really exploring different possibilities and different avenues on this case, and I just love it. That's the kind of show I always wanted. I was always hoping to have something that was really interconnected, that felt personal with each of you. As I said, we're going to still do that movie every month, but I'm only going to do that with members because I feel like for those who are members, I really want to see, you know, it'll be a shorter amount of people so I can see what you have to say and really focus on you on those and my daughter too. I'm excited to get her on the show. She is starting her last year of law school. It'll be so great to have an attorney that's trained. She's going to a great school, and she did an internship with one law firm up in South Carolina. She's currently with a law firm in Florida, and she's hoping that they will hire her full time after her paid externship, they call them, I think, is done. And she was with another criminal externship that she did that I expressed to you I was kind of worried about because it was a domestic violence, and she got the domestic violence end of it. She thought she was going to get like adoptions and things like that, and instead it was the domestic violence end of it. She did great. She loved it. She thought it was wonderful to help different victims. So she's going to come into the program, I think, with a lot of experience, and I'll probably have her on some very specific shows when I have some legal questions. Obviously, I love a lot of our other legal beagles. I need to get Philip Dubé back on. We're just at the point, the Nancy Guthrie case is so investigative as opposed to really the adjudication side of this. But Luigi Mangione is something we're also following closely, and I need to have them back on about those types of shows. Kelly McLennan, as I said, nothing that just hits home to me and makes me makes my day when I see a donation of a gift or somebody becoming an agent or a member. So I thank you very much for that. Plus, it'll be really fun during our movie show. There were some more up here I want to point out. Because I think it is so kind and generous that people would even take the time to make any donation whatsoever to the show and to the channel. I really appreciate it. It also helps with my team. And anybody who works for me, I give raises a lot. I try every single month because they deserve it. They're amazing. And in fact, I'm working on some things, but it's just taking a long time until I get a couple of my expert cases in a different place than they're in right now. Let me remove this so I can read this. It says, my hair is really fluffy today. Jen, if they felt the notes were real, why do you think that they did not pay? Okay, good. And thank you again for that. We addressed that fully here, why they didn't pay. They didn't pay because likely they were given direction. I don't want to call it direction, advice from the FBI. And the FBI would have said, don't pay unless you have proof of life, proof of death, something that they can give you on the table. They only say that in the US though. In abroad, we know that the cartels, if you pay, they're going to hand over the person. And we're going to go through a case that's very similar to this. And this is very interesting what happened. We're going to do that tomorrow. Thank you so much, Nico Tucson. Ooh, Tucson in the house. I think Tuscan, maybe it's Tuscan. Sorry, Tuscan. I transverse those letters, which I do all the time. $4.99. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. Just want to make sure that somebody that contacted me that I just actually, I believe they contacted the mods. If you ever want to contact the mod, any of these mods, they will pass on your messages to me. They are great and they know how to get a hold of me, obviously, because I do want to answer your questions and if I'm able to, and if not, if I can get the answer. And I am really open to everybody's thoughts and everything. I really appreciate all of them. All right, everyone. I've kept you now for an hour and 37 minutes. Have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your Tuesday. I'll be traveling Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Four different locations. But I'll be coming to you from those locations. I'll probably tell you where they're at. I was thinking about, actually, my cousin recommended this, who is often in the program. Her daughter has about 400,000 subscribers as an influencer / creator, but in a totally different realm. So it's my niece. But my cousin, Gina, she's always offering these suggestions. And she said, Jennifer, you need to get one of those sticks that you hold out. And when you're on a walk with Simba, or you're just walking around touching grass, come to us and talk to us, as opposed to always being in your home. And I thought that was interesting. So you might see some of that. I haven't bought that stick yet. It will be odd holding out a stick doing this. I don't know. There's probably an apparatus where I can put it on, but never like a flag. Like, you know, those flag girls had it, I think, on their stomach, and then it went out or something. And then that way they could use their hands. Anyway, I need to get something like that, because I kind of like that idea of just changing it up a little bit. But I love it when I'm back home. I'm a homebody, and I can't believe I'm going to be out for 5 more days. But anyway, I look forward to coming at you from, let's see, where am I going to be? Probably Alabama, Louisiana, Kansas. Am I missing one? I think that's it. I think it's only 3 so far. All right. That's it, everyone. Thank you so much again for being here. You all are the best. Thank you to the best mods anywhere, for sure. Until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all who are missing.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No